You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
As mentioned, that our shapeshifter today is a techpreneur and the founder of Robo Steam Train, Tsego Ludla, also former Mrs. SA finalist 2021. And she's going to be telling us a little bit about where she comes from, how did she get to be where she is, and you know, how you as a young person, perhaps looking up to her, maybe you've never had the opportunity to even talk to her. You know, ask her how she got to be where she is today. She is here to just let us in on that. You know, I get the privilege to talk to very important people in life. And she's one of those people. Good evening, ma'am.
Good evening.
How
Thank
are you?
You so much for having me.
How was your day?
My day was long.
Oh, okay.
I had a long one, but good nonetheless.
I always say on the show that people who have long days and busy days, there's money. So we've made money today, I suppose. Now I love money. They know, indeed. That's why they put me on this show. Because they're, hey, low time to money.
Look, it's important.
Very, very important.
It's important. I love it too.
Hey, look at that. Off to a good start. I think my producer will be
happy. We need it.
So yeah, definitely. Thank you so much for joining us on the show. I've been told that Robo Steam Train was selected for the 2024 Engine, EdTech Fellowship Program. What does that mean for you and, of course, for your organization? Let's start there.
Oh, this is, wow. Mm. Firstly, hi to everybody who's listening in.
Yeah.
And thank you for tuning in.
But thank you for coming.
This Engine opportunity, this amazing, great opportunity, is one thing I think that I've been looking forward to. It's a stage I've been looking forward to reaching in my business for a very long time.
Yeah.
It is an accelerator program.
Okay.
And I've been into many accelerators, incubators.
Yes, yeah,
I've been and done that. But this one, like, this is the one that says, when I'm done here, I don't need another one.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
So is it like a business development program that they take you through? Okay.
Yeah,
all
so
right.
it's a business development program that is essentially three-pronged.
Okay.
They give you support and assistance in terms of growth, advice, assist you with research, because the ed tech space, which is education technology, is a very difficult space.
Mm.
It's a space that most investors don't even want to touch
because
it's hard. And they give us the assistance, they help us, they guide us.
Mm.
They also add funding in there as well.
Oh, nice.
So giving teaching a person to fish, but not giving them a fishing rod is a bit of a challenge.
I know.
So they teach us to fish.
Yeah.
They give us the fishing rod and then they say, go and catch this many fish.
I see. That's a beautiful program. Let's just look into it. I was just taking a note here and really appreciate it. You know, when we started the show, there's a quote that we read by John C. Maxwell. I want your thoughts on that. A leader is one who knows the way, goes the way, and shows the way. Agree?
110%.
Okay.
110%. Unfortunately, we are not born that way. But by the time you are ready to take the bait and call yourself a leader, you've got to fill all those three.
Do you think we throw the word leader around very loosely? Because I think a lot of us would go, I'm a leader. But we don't really get what it means.
Yes. That's why I say we're not all born that way. Yeah. Some of us are thrown into there. Some of us get put into a leadership position, but we don't lead.
Are they born or they're made leaders?
I think it depends on you, your life, your circumstances. I was not born a leader. I don't even want to pretend.
Yeah.
But life said,
you must
stand
be
up,
a leader.
Stand up and do the things that need to be done.
That's nice. And what type of leader do you think you'd characterize yourself? And I'm asking this because I'm sure as someone who runs her own business, you know, you lead people, it becomes almost second nature to do that.
No, not for me.
Oh, okay.
I must say my leadership style has evolved over time because I started off, first of all, I'm a mom, right?
Mm.
That must just go off the bat. Yeah. So by being a mother, I am a leader by default, right?
Mm.
And so I had one way that I thought things should go.
Mm.
But the moment I was owning my own business, I tried to not be a mom in the business. So I needed to find my feet as a leader in the business.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you try different kinds of leadership styles. Some work for some people. And then other staff members will be on some, actually, this doesn't work for me. You know, so I think I'm still evolving as a leader myself.
Yes.
And as the organization is growing and we're getting on more staff members. Yeah.
Okay, that's nice. We are talking off air about Pilar Paratugam, and I need to get my listeners into the behind the scenes of this song. What does it mean? Where did it come from? I mean, you were saying it's an out of body experience.
Yes, you know, gospel music is just another another animal, because. When you are worshiping or when you are, I don't want to say performing, but when you are on stage and you are in that mode, you put yourself in the song that you're singing. And when you're looking at a song, particularly like Pilar Paratugam, you are talking to God. You are not talking about Him. You are saying to Him, listen, this me that I am needs to have more you in it. And therefore your will, your direction, you must reign, you must take control. And when I look at my life, you're asking, what does it mean? And what does it look like, the behind the scenes? Why it's an out-of-body experience for me when I look at my life and where it's been and what it's looked like every time I have said, Pilar Paratugam. You know, you have to pause. You have to pause. In fact, because of it, I end up having to detach myself when I sing the song and sing the song. Otherwise, I won't finish it.
Because tears will be
They will roll. And unfortunately, I'm not blessed with the ability to sing and cry at the same time.
So one or the other. You can't.
You know, so I need to get out of myself and give it to people and use it as a sermon rather to other people. Mina izong shumayza when I get home.
When you get home, you can cry alone.
I can cry alone.
You know, and all those sort of stuff. I mean, we get the final end product, right, as listeners, or, you know, when someone is viewing it on YouTube and all those sort of stuff. But it's those things behind the scenes, behind the songs, the rehearsals, never-ending rehearsals that just are taxing on their own.
Yeah.
And then you have to deliver this huge song in front of everyone, and you need to detach yourself somehow from the song.
Which is why working on our music outside of the stage is so important, because we have to internalize it. We have to interpret it. When somebody said to me, I think this changed my life forever when it comes to singing, he said, tell your story. Listen to the song. When you get home, practice it or whatever it is that you do, but tell your story through the song.
Sure.
So I internalize the story at home.
Yes, yes.
So that it's cemented in. So that when you get to stage, you just now give. You invite people into your worship space, essentially. You're like, join me as I worship, but I'm going to do it for you for now because, you know.
30 years of EMG.
30 years, EMG is 30
years. And you contributed to that as well.
Listen, some blessings come in all sorts of shapes and sizes. I was a kid. I mean, I was, what, 7, 8 when EMG was first formed?
Yeah.
And it was one of those far-off dreams. Yeah. And now I'm like, well, look me.
So what was it like when you were now... I don't know whether you guys have auditions or you get picked or you become, when you were now said, you know, like, now I'm part of Emmanuel, the one that you were listening to, watching and all that experience.
It was a pinch me experience.
Oh, okay. Did you get pinched?
Well, nobody was there to pinch me.
Yeah.
No, but yes, they are auditions. I did audition.
Oh, okay.
I did audition. The time that I auditioned, actually, they were not looking for an alto.
Ah.
I just decided, you know what, it's time.
Mm-hmm.
And I spoke to some people and I said, listen, look me up. Yes, link me with the people.
I want to be here.
And they were like, well, we don't really have space for an alto, but come through audition, let's see. You know, and I think they had already seen me in other spaces before.
So
it was a very mutual decision. And so it's just been a beautiful, I've had a beautiful time. Yeah.
It's one of those that, you know, I always say that I think people in the creative space, artistry space, they get to live their best life. I mean, you do what you love. You
it's
know?
Hard.
I know it is, right?
Really hard.
But you do what you love. I mean, some of us are here and we don't even love this thing that we do. You know,
I
you find other people who incorporate. They're like, it's just for me to live day to day. But I don't really like this thing. You know, but I find people who are artists. You know, in TV, in radio, in music, they get to live what they do. That's why they can go from one gig to the next gig to the other. The whole weekend, umuntu
akendlini. I must say, I'm spoiled in that because. I do what I love on the weekends.
Okay.
And then I do what I love during the week.
Yeah, you see. That's what I'm saying. People like you are blessed by God.
God's favorite.
Anyways, I'm godly jealous, so let's leave it right there.
Yeah.
No, you live your good life on weekend and also during the week.
Lale.
How is that fair though?
I deserve it.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've been through enough.
that makes sense. Fair enough. Let's go back.
Yeah.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in two places. I was born in Taung in the northwest, but we stayed very short time there, and then we lived in Mafikeng with my family until I was around 6-ish.
Okay,
and then we moved to Pretoria.
Okay,
so essentially, I was born in Taung, bred in Mafikeng, and battered in Pretoria.
Go. Let's settle this. Is it Mahikeng or Mafikeng?
It depends on which side you come from and how you feel.
That sounds like a political answer, though.
Honestly.
No, what does that mean? Is that they like you guys can't pick? It's like your Shabalala and Chabalala. These guys can't pick.
No,
pick their
I know Shabalalas. I know Chabalalas.
So which one is it? Is Chabalala or Shabalala?
I don't know.
It depends where you are. So it depends where you are. You can say Mahikeng or Mafikeng. Both are correct.
So most of the people from Taung, where I was born, will say Mahikeng.
Ah.
And a bunch of people from Mafikeng, from the place itself, will say Mafikeng, and others will say, it depends, honestly.
Yeah.
You say it how it feels comfortable.
How it feels comfortable. Yeah. All right. And growing up in Mafikeng or Mahikeng, how was it? What were the challenges? What would be the things you saw when you literally walk out?
You know what? I'll be honest with you. I'm a very blessed person, really, because I grew up in one of those really happy family home type setup. Mm. When I walked out, I went to school. I have an older sister.
Okay.
And we walked to school together.
Yeah.
And so I had a protection.
So you're cushioned.
I had a bodyguard. I'm very cushioned.
Okay.
I had a bodyguard.
Okay.
When I got to school, if I had to deal with a bully, which I did once or twice, it was very simple. I'm going to call my sister.
Mm.
You know, so that's what I walked out into. And then Sabbath, we were going to church.
Mm.
Sometimes Friday evening, we'll be having Sabbath opening at church.
Mm.
We are home cooking.
Mm.
I have a younger sister as well. Mm. So, you know. I had it was very nice for me.
Yeah.
I grew up also in a very quiet area.
Yeah.
Of the location we were staying in.
Yeah.
And so there was not a lot of drama, honestly. Okay. Kids played on bikes outside.
Yeah, and that was it.
That was it.
Yeah. Poverty, socioeconomic challenges.
I come from, I don't know, do we call it middle class anymore?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So from a normal home.
Yeah.
Were they tough times? Definitely. Were there times when one or the other of my parents weren't working? Definitely. My father went back to school when all three of us were there. He went back and studied full time.
Mm.
And so at some point, my mom was working alone.
The fort, yeah.
So you could see, but we were kids, you know, and parents have a way of making it seem like it's nothing.
It's nothing,
you know. And so, according to us, we were cool.
Yeah.
Only now, when I'm going through the most, I'm like, "Mom, how did you manage?" It's like, I don't know.
But they never tell us that, you know, growing up is a scam. You know, you get to realize, because they're always like, "Uzokhula uzibone," and you're like, "Ngizobukhula ngizobona," and now you're like, "Hey, ngiyayibona ke ngama impela these things." You know,
yesterday, they never really tell us. I was saying sorry to my mother. Yesterday, kwaizolo. I'm like, "Mom, I'm so sorry because wow, I'm seeing the flames now, and I get." I'm sorry for all I put you through because I see it.
Yeah, sure. Now being cushioned, how has that shaped who you are today? Has it kind of shaped your worldview? Because we speak to a lot of people here who tell you the same, that the way I viewed life is a result of where I come from. If I'm from privilege, you know, you see life as privilege, you know. But if you're from poverty, it's almost like it's a never-ending struggle to just find your feet in the world.
I think it shaped it to a certain extent.
Mm.
And then at some point, you know, I'm growing up, I'm seeing the world for myself. My parents could only take me so far.
Okay.
And they did the best that they could.
Yeah.
And then from there, say after varsity days, then it was me.
Yeah.
You know, and the reality of what life really looks like, you know.
Mm.
And excuse me, I must say, like I said, my father was studying. At some point, we stayed on campus as a family. And they managed, for example, we'd go and eat at dining hall.
Sure.
You know, and for us, that was the fun days.
Yeah.
Because we'd get a chocolate nyala or something.
Yeah.
But only later do we understand that's the days they had nothing. They literally had nothing.
Hmm.
So we went on the meal, on my father's meal card, because I think it was an anniversary.
Yeah.
And we would then go and eat at dining hall.
Sure.
But for us, those were the good days. So that definitely did shape where I am, because I, you know, later after speaking to my mom, I was like, okay, so it's like this. The world is not as rosy as what I thought it looks like. I come from one of those happy marriage homes, you know, and you get out and you're like, oh, okay.
Not everyone has a happy marriage.
You know, but also that this thing takes work, for example. You know, it looks easy when other people are doing it.
Yeah.
And now it's like, okay, now I have my own husband. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
The stuff is...
Hello. You know, but you make it work, and it definitely does shape.
Yeah.
But you have to also form your own you know, opinions, and you have to grow up.
Yeah. All right. And I want to stay there, because that's an interesting point. It's almost like, you know, there's only so much that your parents can do to cushion, shape, kind of give you principles, show you life, and cushion you from certain things. But there's a point where you need to stand up on your own feet and redefine this thing for yourself.
Yeah.
Whether it's, you know, the career you want to go to, the marriage you want to have, you know, the type of kid. At some point, you need to reshape this thing, this life thing for yourself and all that. Where was that epiphany? Where was what was that moment that said, now you need to reshape things now?
I think it still hits me every now and again.
Yeah.
You know, I took a career path that's very different from what I grew. My father was in the medical space, my mother in the medical space.
Mm.
And so I went engineering.
Mm.
You know? Okay. So it was like, okay, they can't help me with my homework.
Yeah.
First of all. You know, that's like step one.
Yeah.
And then you are married. I didn't marry my father.
Mm.
You know, it would have been nice, but I didn't marry my father.
Mm.
And so I need to get to know the next person.
Yes.
And then I have kids of my own.
Yes.
You know, I didn't birth my sister and my other sister and the people that I, you know.
Yeah.
So it still comes. I am an entrepreneur.
Mm.
My parents, you know, although having tried business here and there, they were not full-time entrepreneurs.
Yes,
and now I'm having to figure that out.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it's an ongoing thing. Every now and again, it's like, oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, let's do this, God. Let's try again.
That's interesting. Engineering, is that what you always wanted to do?
No.
Oh, okay. What did you want to study?
I wanted to study musical theater.
Oh, okay.
And I got an audition, I got in, and then I had some challenges, essentially with Sabbath issues.
Ah, okay.
And then engineering was my third choice.
Third.
Second one was vocal. Was it vocal art?
Okay.
Something of that nature. I think it was the opera.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I was very much into the music, and I didn't get into that.
Mm.
And the school took me for my third option, which was electrical engineering, rather electronics.
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
Okay.
I do like it.
Yeah,
you know, I do like it.
Yeah.
You know, it's that one that you put there so that your parents don't say.
Yeah.
Because music, what are you going to do with music?
Yes, yes.
So I put it there for my parents.
Do you think that was a redirection?
Definitely.
Okay.
I think it was supposed to be there.
Sure.
I think I needed to go there.
Yeah.
But I wasn't going to go there by myself.
Mm.
If you give me, I mean, I was a teenager.
Mm.
I was seeing myself on stage.
Yeah,
you know?
Taking over the world.
Singing in, what's that, the
but
Lion
King.
But
you want to take over the world, though. I mean, let's
oh, I'm
be
taking
honest.
It over.
Yeah, look at that. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. You're blessed. You're kind of living your best life. Everything you wanted to do, you've touched on it.
Yeah, and I'm still exploring more. I'm living. I'm alive.
You're here.
I am here.
I love that.
When I turned 30, I waited for the moment.
Yeah.
You know, my purpose moment.
Yes.
And it didn't come. And I waited and I said, God, I'm here for my purpose. You know, we do that whole David was 30,
yes,
Jesus
yes,
was 30.
Yeah,
so I turned 30 and I waited. Oh, crickets, nothing happened.
Sure.
And so I essentially started living when I was about 35.
Mm.
And so I've got a lot to catch up with.
But that's interesting because some people at 35 would think their life has ended. If nothing has happened at that stage, like just give
I
up.
I was working at work. And then, you know,
yeah.
By 35, which was 2021,
yeah.
I decided I'm living now. It's time to take it. I'd already started the business. It was slow and sad.
Yeah.
But I thought, you know what?
Yeah.
We're here. That's when I entered Mrs. South Africa.
Yes.
And that propelled me, and there's
even
no
further.
Going back.
Yeah. I want to go back to, I'm coming back to that one, but I want to go back to school. So electronics was your third option.
Yeah.
It's about, what, 3-4 years? Something like that?
I took a little more, but yeah.
What was, yes, let's talk about that. I want to go back to the whole university experience,
mm-hmm.
because I think it's a dream for people of the black community to get to university.
Yes.
Right? Because not a lot of us have that privilege to do that. And when you get there, you still have to deal with the dynamics of being at university.
Yes.
And you have to deal with engineering.
Mm-hmm.
That's perhaps predominantly white.
Male.
Male at that as well. How did you navigate that?
I don't even know, to be honest.
Mm.
I was at school. Right?
So for you, it was just school, Inje?
I was at school.
There's nothing like EFF
friends.
And something and all those sort of stuff.
No, I was at school. I made great friends.
Okay.
There's a place at TUT called Stress Park. I don't know if they still call it
yeah.
that. We hung out at Stress Park
yeah.
because we were so stressed.
Yeah.
And that was it. All right. We went to school.
Okay.
Yes, there were lecturers who really made you feel. I mean,
yeah.
I had a lecturer who'd come into the room and say, "Good morning, gentlemen."
Ooh.
And then would say, "Sir, don't you see us?" He says, "I'm talking to the people who are supposed to be here." Oh, I? Okay.
I get.
Teach.
You know, continue game with whatever.
Do your thing.
Yeah.
You know, and we'll pass the exam and move
sure.
on. So it wasn't perfect, but you know, when you are here, you find things. I'm
yeah.
one of those people. I find the positive. I'm that person. I can
yeah,
be very annoying.
Yeah, always look at the good in life.
I can be very annoying at it else as well.
Okay.
You know, but I'm learning. I'm getting better at that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you go through university, tough
yeah.
as it is,
mm-hmm.
being not seen, you know,
yeah.
by lecturers, and yeah. someone's like, "You're not there." Your first job?
My first job, I was doing an internship at CSIR.
Ah, okay.
And I got that job through a photographer.
This
okay. was a photographer at my sister's wedding.
Mm.
And while we were planning, because I was helping with the planning and whatnot, and while we were planning, he says, "Okay, but what do you do?"
Mm.
I said, "I'm looking for an internship."
Mm.
And he says, "I know someone."
Okay.
And that's how I got my first job, because I'd been looking for a while and I was at home.
Yeah.
And then I got that, and that one gave birth to the second part
yeah.
of my internship, which
yeah.
was also at the CSIR, but a
yeah.
different part.
Yeah.
And then I crossed the road to the Innovation Hub.
Okay.
And I did an internship there.
Yeah.
And then I've been working since.
Oh, that's really nice. And the musical park, where was it at the time? I'm sitting somewhere there, like Nzobuya, and like, just stay there. I'm coming back.
The musical bug comes from home.
Yeah.
So that one doesn't die.
Okay.
It's always there.
Yeah.
Always.
Mm.
My father was very, very musical.
Mm.
My mother taught me to sing, but my father was very musical.
Mm.
And conducted choirs. He played the organ, church, and all of that. He taught us how to sing as well. So that one's always been there.
Mm.
It's like in the backdrop. It's,
yeah.
It's my therapy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So on Sabbath, that's when you tapped into it.
On Sabbath.
Even though
and
during
Sunday.
The week you're working and,
yeah.
and all the sort of stuff. But and I'm asking because you said, you know, music was your first choice, second choice.
Yeah.
So that thing doesn't go away.
It's no,
always
it doesn't.
There. You know,
no,
which
it doesn't.
I'm doing this work, but this is what I wanted to do, right?
Yeah.
Born Adventist?
Yeah, Vestry baby.
So what's it like?
What's it like?
I'm sure there were expectations of how you carry yourself from childhood to teenagehood,
yeah.
working. Is there such a thing as the pressure?
Yes, there is the pressure in that, yes, there are expectations
yeah.
of what you look like, what you do. There still are. I mean,
yeah.
for the fact that my mother is still alive,
yeah.
there will always be, expectations.
She's just a text away with Wednesday much.
You know, and besides, we grew up in a particular time
yeah.
where things looked a particular way.
Yeah.
When I'm at church, if I'm at church and I'm asked maybe to go and be part of the worship team or something, and I'm not wearing something that covers my shoulders, I'm like, not today, guys.
Not today, yeah, yeah.
No. Especially because these days we stream.
Yeah.
You know, I've got in-laws as well. Yeah. I feel like I'm going to get a text that says, Sisi, what are you doing?
I have to question you.
But you know what? That pressure will always be there. But as you find yourself and you have a relationship with God, those things kind of fall into the background, and it's your relationship with God that that guides and governs the rest of the thing.
Okay, CSIR Innovation Hub, right? Is that where you now left to become an entrepreneur?
No, I worked for like 10 years before I became an entrepreneur.
Where at Innovation Hub?
No, I moved from an Innovation Hub and I worked at CarTrack.
Okay.
From CarTrack, I worked at Saab, S-A-A-B. And at the end of my Saab days.
So you're busy with those things? We won't mention them here on air that you do at Saab there.
Defense, we call it defense.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm just trying to be politically correct here.
No, it's defense. Don't worry.
Oh, okay.
Defense.
So I'll just call it defense.
It's defense.
Yeah. Yes. By the way, I've always wanted to work there. So that's why I'm very jealous here. I'm saying, okay.
It's fun.
Yeah.
Look, no. Let me say it's interesting. Yeah. It's interesting. I don't know if I'm allowed to say what I did. So, but it's interesting.
Did you do like rifles?
No, it's defense. We defend. What's up? We defend. Okay. It's defense. We don't attack. You know?
You're defending the country.
We defend the country. Okay. I worked mainly on the missile warner systems. So we warn the fighter pilot that there is a missile coming. And then he can defend. Oh, yeah, I understand.
Yagus.
Yes.
So what type of missiles were they? Or are just out there that people normally when they're fighting use? And
there's different kinds of missiles, but our particular warner was a solar blind warner. Yeah. So if somebody sends a missile from the direction of the sun, hoping that the sun would blind you, our missile warner is one that can filter out sun ray from the actual missile so that you can protect yourself.
Yeah. And when you protect, defend yourself, are there missiles you also fire?
Aye, that's not my defense. What you do with the information, mine is to inform you that there is a missile coming. If you duck or you run or you
it's up to you.
Yeah.
I always wear 90s.
Yeah, so we used to do the thermal type of missile. So you could send out a flare that would redirect the missile and make it think. Yeah, that's one. That's one way that you could react to being warned that there's a missile. It's the one that senses the thermal energy, and then you send out a flare or you send out some other something that sends out heat.
Yeah,
and then it will follow that and go there.
Yeah,
you know, if you're flying over the sea, you'd send it towards the sea so that it's a safer place.
Yeah,
but whether you decide to fire back, I get.
Are we safe?
From what?
As a country.
I don't know. I work in defense.
Okay. I tell you as defender.
It's a long time ago. Also, I didn't work in the army.
Oh, okay.
We manufactured the things.
Yeah.
I'm not in the army.
But you can't manufacture without a demand.
I don't know. I can't serve any more.
Okay. Nice. Matters of international importance.
Hallelujah.
And then after that, where did you go?
After that, when my time at Saab ended, and the company was going through some rough times, I was home.
Okay.
Hoping to get back to work. I figured, it's fine. I'll be home.
Yeah.
Take that severance, spend a couple of months just, sorting myself out and get back to work, only to find that I was pregnant at the time and I couldn't get a job.
Oh, nice.
That is nice.
Yeah, it is. A baby is a blessing.
When you're unemployed.
Yeah, very much so.
Your third one.
Married.
So
what are you crying about? You're married. So you're not alone.
It must eat, inshallah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I then, at the time I was running a non-profit organization.
Yes.
So I decided it's fine. I'll keep working with the non-profit. But it was really hard to get a job, with a big stomach.
Yeah.
And being very sick during my pregnancy, I think my husband was like, you know what, don't.
Yeah.
Rather stay home. Work on the nonprofit, have the baby, take care of the baby, and then when you're ready. But by the time the baby was born and was old enough, the business started, COVID hit, and then it was spiraled.
Yeah.
And now the business is taking off. So
okay.
I'm staying.
Okay, no, that's good. What was the dream with RoboSteam?
The initial dream.
Mm-hmm. Or the dream has changed?
The dream...
Or it has found a different, morphed into something bigger?
Changed and came back.
Oh, okay.
It was born first as a non-profit organization.
Yes.
It was called the Tshala Foundation.
Yeah.
And the dream was to empower underprivileged children with skills of coding and robotics. It all started because we were coaching, my husband and I, we were helping children with maths mainly, and we realize that they don't get it, they don't understand it, and the problem is really at the foundation.
Yeah.
And that's where maths is built. Maths is not built in high school.
Yes, yes.
No child, and I want to say this out loud, no child is born bad at maths.
Okay.
Mathematics is not something you are bad at when you are born.
Yeah.
But because of messaging, because of circumstances, because of teaching and whatever.
Yeah.
And I used my knowledge of robotics to, you know, make it fun.
Okay.
So that children can be more open to it, have a better relationship with it, and therefore pass it. And the dream was to have all children have a better relationship with mathematics and education. So that they can pursue it all the way to the end. And that was the ultimate dream.
Okay, and it morphed into what?
It morphed into a private business servicing private schools.
Okay.
In 2020.
Okay.
When the non-profit side became difficult because it was self-funded.
Yeah.
And that did not go well because that's clearly not what I was called for.
Okay.
In the private space and private clients.
Yeah.
Who I was teaching, and that was very slow. Yes, I did have, you know, a client here and there.
Here and there.
But it was quite slow. The schools was really sad at some point. And in 2022, I quit.
Sure.
I quit.
That's 2 years ago.
Yeah, August 2022. Yeah. I remember the day exactly. It was the 1st of August. I said to my husband, I quit. I'm done. I'm going to look for somebody to buy the equipment. I'm out. God must say something else now because clearly the first thing he said is not make sure.
Yeah.
And so I quit. And he said, we happy?
Good question.
He asked me, well, not literally, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Where are you going? I called you. And the point was, I've called you to go and serve my people who don't have access to these things under a normal day-to-day basis. And that's exactly what you're going to do.
Yeah.
And so we're back there.
So you quit on the first, when did you go back?
The following week.
Yeah, hey God, sometimes.
He didn't give me a chance.
Yeah, it was like, we're
up. On a Monday. On Tuesday, I got an email. I ignored it.
Yeah.
Wednesday, I got a message in LinkedIn. I ignored it. And then the next week, I messaged back and they pursued me, literally pursued me. And this was like some miracle out of nowhere. The client was like, listen, we need you. To come and help children in Mpumalanga. And I was like, okay.
So you're in Pretoria at the time?
In Midrand, yeah.
In Midrand, yeah.
Okay. And it was an amazing experience and I've not looked back.
Yeah, no, God has a way to just remind you that we're happy.
Yeah.
That's a critical question.
Yeah.
We're happy. That's an interesting question. I think when you get to that level with God where he asks you like directly, like he asked, Job,
Sugum.
Who made?
What's your story?
Yeah, Utin.
Yeah.
Okalang.
Kuluma Zwagala.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I had one of those and I was like, oh, okay. All right.
And what was your struggle then at the spiritual level when he was like, we're happy?
I went through, myself and my family went through what we call our desert era. When I left corporate, I said, it's okay, we are leaving Egypt, and we are going to Canaan. Nobody tells you that there's actually a desert between Egypt and Canaan, and the desert was hard. The desert was hard, and that's what I was going through. And I was like, no, it's fine. I tried to go back to the Egypt a couple of times, but the desert was hard. And he was like, but we said we're going to Canaan, let's go, we must get through to
Mrs. South Africa finalist.
Yes, sir.
That journey.
At your service.
Yeah, how was it?
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
I would suggest everybody do something crazy like once in your life. Yeah. Just once. I found me. I refound God.
Beautiful.
there. We get lost in motherhood, most of us moms. We get lost in wifehood. We get lost in all sorts of things, and we get lost. And I was able to find me again. I was able to learn how to listen to God speaking versus me doing all the talking all the time, because it's a really grueling journey.
Yeah,
it really requires you of yourself.
Yeah,
and so I had to go through it. And it was a beautiful journey. It was a beautiful journey. And I came out thinking, wow, that was a lot. I've never been a pageant person in my life. And so being a first-time pageanter at the age of 35, who had never owned a stick of makeup before then. And now they're like, well, you need to know how to put on your own makeup, maybe.
Yes, that's beautiful. And what were the, and I'm going to ask as your conservative Adventists.
Good.
What was the suppose remarks, or you didn't care?
Whose remarks?
Oh, okay. Makes sense.
Yeah. Sure. My husband's remarks? Sure. My mother's remarks? Sure. My mother-in-law's remarks? Sure.
But everyone else?
Well, it depends. What are you trying to get out of making a remark? You know, is it a weaker brother situation? Come, let's talk. Is it a point of judgment conversation? That's, are you remarking there in the corner where I can't hear you? Also, I can't help you. You know, so who?
Sure. Love that. That's beautiful. I think they need to relax, these conservatives.
I don't want to comment on that. My mother's listening.
So if you look at your career, RoboSteam, doing the pageant, what is the one highlight you would say in your career here? I was at my high.
You know, every time I think I found my high, a new high comes. Right now, I've just been accepted into what is one of the best programs in Africa. Not South Africa. It's the best program in South Africa for tech.
Yeah.
But it's one of the best programs in Africa, sponsored by MasterCard.
Yeah.
And they are saying, come and help African children. Yeah. All over, and I am saying in the rural areas.
Sure.
It doesn't get highlighter than that.
Congratulations.
But that's for today.
Yeah.
You know, the plan over the next couple of months is to reach 10,000 learners in rural areas. If you ask me this question this time next year, I will have a different answer.
My producer is listening, so we've got an appointment, Spongile. So, yeah.
Yes,
this time next year.
This time next year. I will have a definitely different answer.
Okay. And your low?
My low?
Over the years.
Is when I had to quit.
Sure.
And I say had to quit because sometimes until you back away from something and have a different perspective and you just stop trying to do it the way you wanted to do it. You know, and it's a very painful thing to let go of something you birthed, something you had visions of. I mean, by then I had already shifted into this private space. And I was like, this is what we're going to do. And da, 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 da. And it was very hard. I cried the whole week. But it was necessary.
It was necessary. Let's talk about money.
Yes, please.
What's your relationship?
We are getting to know each other better.
Okay.
Me and Mani are getting to know each other better. But
it sounds like you're saying you're getting to know each other with a couple of tawa, you know?
No. And by millions, getting to know each other, yeah. I'm not saying we live in the same house.
Okay.
I'm saying we go out on dates from time to time. No, money is a thing. We don't talk a lot about money.
Yeah.
For some reason or another.
Yes.
But it is a tool.
Yeah.
You know, for me, money is very much a tool.
Yeah.
And it makes things happen. It moves things. As a business owner, I was very afraid of money when I started. I was very afraid of talking about money. I was afraid to charge clients. Yeah. I was just afraid of money.
Yeah.
And I've had to learn to say, you know what? Money is not the problem.
Yeah.
You know, get to know it. Learn how to use it properly.
Yeah.
Learn how to, you know, manage it, balance it. It mustn't own you. You must own it.
Yes.
Then we'll be fine.
Then we'll be fine. And what is the one thing you say to your kids about money?
I don't have any.
So they come, mommy, we want 3 rand, 10 rand. You just go take my child.
Never. I have small children. They're not there yet.
Oh, okay. But I'm sure there's lessons they can learn about money.
Yes, no, they are. I'm teaching my oldest.
Yeah.
To make money.
Okay.
I've made it very clear to him that money doesn't fall off trees. Mm. And so every now and again, we try a little something during the holidays. Begating summer ice.
Mm.
His siblings ate more of the ice than he sold.
Okay.
You know, but I'm trying to show him that part that money comes in. I'm showing him that when you have money, there's a certain amount that you've got to save, certain amount that goes to tithe, certain amount is yours to spend. Some of it you've got to do something nice for somebody else with, you know. So we talk about that. He's old enough. The little ones really don't. They see money as the thing to buy sweets.
Yes, yes. Yeah. My producer says she's marked the calendar. So
okay.
If she says she's marked it, then she's definitely marked it. Definitely. Yeah, we'll have this conversation again. Looking at your younger self as we draw to a close, what would you do differently if you had to start all over?
You know, when you're talking to somebody who has seen what I've seen, I want to say there are things that I would have done differently, but I wouldn't be where I am if I had done them differently. I appreciate a lot of things about where I am. I had two children. I was happy with them. And then God gave me a third one where initially I would have said I would not have had a third child. But I'm so happy she's here.
Mm.
So...
you're okay.
Yeah. If now that I know what it was all for, I wish God had been a little gentler with some of the lessons I needed to learn. But also I know Gute can be a little bit hard-headed.
Yes.
And so he needed to teach me in a way that I would listen.
Yes.
So I wouldn't change anything.
And what would you say to your younger self? Believe you can. You can achieve anything. Would that be the message?
Not really.
Yeah.
I'd say, you are going to be all right.
Mm.
It's okay. You're not the most popular girl right now. Mm. But it's okay. It's coming.
Yeah.
You're going to be all right.
Yeah.
You are going to be okay. Yeah.
Sure. Young girls looking up to you?
What would I say to young girls looking up to me?
Yeah.
Breathe.
Oh, okay.
Baby, breathe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no. Breathe.
Yeah.
It's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
Whatever it is you're looking at,
yeah.
I promise you, it's not the end of the world. The pimples will go away.
Yeah.
And if they don't, you will have money to do something about
beautiful.
It. Yeah. Whatever it is that you think is the end of the world, the friends situation that young people, that you know, teenagers struggle with, breathe.
It'll be that's beautiful.
Breathe. It's okay.
Yeah.
Breathe.
Sure. I just had a moment to breathe as well.
Yeah, please, breathe. It's important. I have to tell myself from time to time now, even at my age, so breathe, breathe.
Sure.
I say to my kids all the time, breathe in,
breathe
out. Okay, what's wrong? Breathe.
Sure. People who might be interested in getting in contact with you, maybe need to also get into RoboSteam as well. Contacts, website, how do they?
My favorite question.
I know.
No, I say so because we're about to launch a project, an amazing project where we are working on reaching and empowering teachers and teachers and children at 50 schools in rural areas. And we can't do that alone.
Sure.
We need all the help we can get.
Yeah.
So our social media, RoboSteam_train. On Instagram and Facebook, and we're also RoboSteam Train on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
And my personal is Tsego.Dludla on Instagram, and I have a very small TikTok page.
That thing is for young people.
It's difficult, but you know what? It does the thing. We're about to launch the campaign in May, in May, where we will be, you know, collecting stories and getting schools that are in rural areas. But I'm not talking about, you know, rural that you can Google. I mean that rural that nobody knows about. Because nobody really reaches those places.
Yeah.
And so we have every intention to empower educators there.
Yeah.
So contact us, drop us an email, tsego@robosteamtrain.co.za. And let's see how we can partner.
Yes.
Adventist World Radio, you're also allowed to come on board.
Listening. Don't worry.
I'm very, very intentional. I'm not shy. Amanda Kusawa
saying, great show. It's so empowering listening to a confident and seemingly content woman. I just can't read everything here, but
You'll show me.
So there you go, Amanda saying,
Thank you so much, Amanda.
So she's also coming in. Thank you so much, ma'am.
Thank you for having me.
For taking your time and joining us this evening. We wish you nothing but the best.
Appreciate it.
We want to check again a year from now.
Please say, hey, how did it go?
How did that thing go? And where you might be as well. But thank you so much for joining us. We wish you nothing but the best.
Highly appreciate it.
So there you go. Edora Zutsiho as our shapeshifter for today.
You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.